Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Like to do is teach from the scriptures about this important doctrine. And before we even have this service, those that are water baptism candidates, in just a moment we're going to call for them to be dismissed, and they're going to come and we're going to hear some testimonies, and most definitely they're going to be water baptized. But before they did any of that, this morning they had a class. We feel that it's necessary that each and every person understands the importance of what they're doing and the true meaning of it. So we don't take by chance that, you know, that people just say, well, I want to be water baptized like my friend was, and just I'll get water baptized. We want them to understand that. And yet, at the same time, God didn't make it hard. He just wants us to understand what it means and why we should, and so should our congregation. So every time before we have a water baptism service, I teach a little bit along this line so that we have a correct biblical understanding. There's so many things out there in the world that have ideas about water baptism that are not scriptural. But what I want to do is share a number of scriptures with you today. I'll go through them pretty quick like I always do, but it will be important. So if for those that are taking notes, we're going to call it water baptism and discipleship. Water baptism and discipleship, today's message. And so I want to teach on water baptism and why it's a part of discipleship. You know, discipleship is important, and it's about a person who believes on Jesus Christ and makes him Lord of their lives and their fellowship of Jesus with their lives. When I hear the word discipleship, I'm always thinking about fellowship. Because Jesus told his disciples, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. So discipleship has everything to do with our active and ongoing fellowship of Jesus Christ with our life. In other words, we sit at the master's feet, we hear his teaching, and then we go out and obey those things. Come on. And that's exactly what Jesus taught us. And we'll see this as you turn with me to Matthew 28. So what I'm going to do today is show you why water baptism is part of discipleship, or the believer's fellowship of Jesus Christ. And we'll go to the Word, and we'll begin in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20. And one of the things that you don't want to do is just say, oh, I know that verse. You know, in that type of thing, what we have to understand is the word that you get thrilled with is the word that will work for you. And it's an understanding of God's word that causes us to be thrilled with it. Not just nonchalant, I heard it before, and okay, I'm not getting water baptized, so it's not important to me. Water baptism is important for all of us to understand. Amen. Whether we're being water baptized or not, or whether we have in the past, it is important for us to understand it's all about discipleship and our fellowship with Jesus Christ. Jesus came and spoke unto them, verse 18 of Matthew 28, all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples. Everybody say, make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Notice he said, teaching them all things that I've commanded you, teaching them all things that I command you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Notice this emphasizes in verse 19, make disciples. Go in the world and make disciples. Well, in order to make a disciple, you've got to get them saved first. But once a person is saved, then you're to make them disciples or a follower of Jesus Christ. And that is done through teaching and equipping them or training them to obey all things that Jesus has said unto us. And one of the things that Jesus told us was to baptize all believers. Amen. And baptize disciples. Amen. And so we see here that water baptism is part of discipleship, or making disciples, baptizing them, and teaching them to obey all things. It is therefore the followers of salvation that this follows salvation. In other words, this discipleship process can only happen once a person is saved. Once you're saved, you're a believer. God wants believers to turn into disciples, and he said part of the fellowship of this is to be water baptized. Water baptism, therefore, is an outward witness of the inner change which has already taken place in salvation. Praise the Lord. We should be clear that it is faith alone in the redemptive work of Christ that produces salvation, not water baptism. Now, what we have to understand is this. If water baptism was a means of salvation alone, if all you had to do was be water baptized to be saved, then why did Paul never mention it? And in fact, he said we were justified by faith in Christ alone. Now, let's talk about that one moment. He is not downplaying, and I'm not downplaying water baptism. I'm just telling you, water baptism, don't be deceived. Water baptism isn't the means of anyone's salvation. It is a means of saying, I have been saved, and now I'm taking my next step in discipleship and my fellowship with Jesus Christ seriously. And it has meaning. And actually, which I do not have time to teach on today, it teaches us about our identification with Christ. That when Christ died, he died to our sins, so we die to our, he died for our sins, so we die to our sins. He was buried, and he put away all of our sins so that our past could no longer haunt us. That's about our identification. And as he was raised again from the glory of God, amen, so we too experience newness of life. That's what this tank represents. They come in as one man. They go down in death with Christ, buried with him, and raised in newness of man. That doesn't save you. That's a symbolism of what happens when you've already made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. This teaches you on that. And when you understand it, it's powerful and is exciting. Notice it is faith alone in the redemptive redemptive work of Christ that produces salvation, not water baptism. Let me give you a couple of scriptures for that really quick. Acts chapter 13, verse 38 and verse 39. I know you wish I would slow down. Praise the Lord. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, talk about Jesus Christ, is preaching to you the forgiveness of sins. Through this man, Jesus Christ, is preaching the forgiveness of sins. Notice verse 39, for by him all that believe, it didn't say all that are water baptized, all that believe are justified from all things, for which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. You cannot be justified or saved by your works or anything else except through faith alone in Jesus Christ. We should know that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Here's another good verse, Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Here's what Paul said about that. He said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith, by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we may be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. In other words, by nothing that you can do can save you except through your faith in Jesus Christ. This is why Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Notice, you're saved by grace through faith, or you're not saved. It's by grace through faith that you're saved, not by works, not by any means that we do, amen, but by faith in Jesus Christ. That's how we get saved, amen. And then, notice, like I said, if water baptism was the means of salvation alone, then why did Paul say something totally opposite this? In 1 Corinthians, once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, turn that with me, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17, 18. Now, I'm not downplaying water baptism. I'm just trying to tell you that you can't be saved because you're water baptized. And every candidate realizes that they're not saved because they're being water baptized. They already are. This is an outward public confession that I've made Jesus my Lord, and this is saying I'm following him as a disciple. This is why it's important they understand what they're doing. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach Christ. This is what Paul said. Now, you know, if water baptism would save you, then why did Paul say he didn't send me to baptize? But to preach Christ, to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, how are we going to get saved? It, by preaching of the gospel. That's how faith comes, and then we receive Christ. By which of being saved, it is the power of God. The preaching of the cross is. Now, in verse, the next verse I want us to look at, I believe is verse 21, and it says this. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, for it pleased God that by the what? The foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. He didn't say by water baptism. He said by the foolishness of preaching to them, they are saved that believe. What are we believing? We're believing that Jesus is the one who died for our sins. Only He can forgive us. Our faith in Christ not only forgives us of our sins, but gives us eternal life, the gift of eternal life. Can I get amen in here today? Praise the Lord. This is important for us to understand. Hallelujah. And so what we find out about water baptism, it is the command of Jesus' followers. In other words, those that are already saved. And it is the initial action to be taken upon believing. So in other words, our next step after we getting saved, Jesus said, you make disciples and you water baptize them. In other words, it's a statement of their faith to say, I'm already saved, now I'm taking another step in my fellowship of Jesus Christ. That's exactly what it means. It's an actually, water baptism is an opportunity to act on one's new profession of faith. This is why we do it three or four times a year, so that those that come and that get saved can be water baptized. Yet, as people many times have been saved years ago, finally realize and say, you know what, maybe I should be water baptized. Not to get saved, but to show the world I am saved and my fellowship with Jesus Christ, and actually just obeying His command to be water baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ. That's beautiful. And as people grow in their relationship with God, they want to do this. They want to do this. They're not mistaken that this doesn't make them saved. They're doing it with the understanding that I am saved, and now I am testifying to the world. I am following Jesus Christ. He is my Lord. He alone has saved me. Amen. And I am following Him. So water baptism comes after one's salvation, one's justification, and one's repentance of sins. Once saved, part of the natural progression of discipleship is water baptism. The book of Acts, listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you, and I'm going to show you from the scripture as we close. The book of Acts proves the early church administered water baptism not to save people from their sins, but as an outward witness of the inner change which had already taken place in salvation, their believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and their fellowship of Him. Did you know, in case you didn't, I'm telling you, there are eight clear witnesses or examples in the book of Acts which showed people were only water baptized after believing on Jesus and being saved first, not to get saved. Eight of them. Now, I don't have time to show you them all, but water baptism, therefore, is an outward act showing one's already personal faith in Christ Jesus. And so for time's sake, what we'll do is we'll take a brief look at three of the eight instances recorded in Acts concerning water baptism. In all eight, I'm going to show you three. Notice what happens first. A person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. They give their heart. They put personal faith in Jesus Christ first. And from that place, they're saved. They become believers. And from that place, afterwards, they're water baptized. Never in the other order. Always in that order. Praise the Lord. So, let's look at these three examples in Acts chapter 8, verse 36 through 38. Here we go. And they went on their way. This is talking about, anybody remember when Philip went down in Acts chapter 8 and preached Christ into the city of Samaria and had a revival there? After that revival, he was minding his own business, and the Holy Ghost took him away and caught him away, and he ministered to this Ethiopian eunuch on his way. Now notice here, and he went on their way. As he went on the way, they came to a certain water. He's up there in the chariot with the Ethiopian eunuch. He had already preached the gospel, talking about who Jesus Christ is. He had already done that. And notice, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Verse 37. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you mayest. In other words, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can. And notice what the Ethiopian eunuch said. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. And then verse 38, he commanded the chariot. He said, all right, stand still. All right, chariot, stop. And he went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Notice in the order progression, he heard a message, he believed on Jesus Christ, made him his personal Lord and Savior, and then he was water baptized. Notice that. All eight instances prove this, but I'm showing you three. Point number two, in here's what we see in Acts chapter 16, verses 30 through 33. Anybody know where Acts 16 talks about? It's talking about when Paul and Silas was in prison. And at midnight, they sang and they prayed and sang praises unto God. That backs were beaten, that feet were in stock, and it stood a griping and complaining, like most of us would have. They prayed and sang praises unto God. And you know what? They were in there for that very reason. But yet they didn't be silent. They were beat. Couldn't go nowhere. Feet in stocks. And yet they turned to God. So and the whole prison heard them singing and praising. They weren't ashamed. And God showed up and showed off. We know there was a great earthquake. And it shook the whole place. And the whole prison was shaken. And all the prison doors were open. Their stocks and bonds fell off of their hands and feet. And all the prison doors were open. And the jailer came in calling for a light. He was going to kill himself because he knew if the prisoners escaped, it meant his own execution. He's about to fall on the sword. And Paul calls out rather and says, don't harm yourself. We all are here. Now notice we pick up in verse 30. I think is where we're supposed to be. Yeah, verse 30. And he brought them out. The jailer brought them out and said, sirs, notice the jailer, first thing he said, what do you say? What must I do to be saved? You're talking about a jailhouse revival right there. Come on. The jailer saw that God showed up and showed off, and his first word out of his mouth was, what must I do to be saved? Now, Paul answers it. Here he goes, and then he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your house. In other words, whoever in your house would believe would be saved as well. Listen, know this, your house is going to get saved the same way you do by believing. This does not teach that just because you're saved, your whole house will be saved. It means that the people in your house that believe the same way you do will be saved. Yes, you can claim that salvation, but at some point they're going to have to believe just like you do. They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved in your house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. Verse 33, and he took them the same hour that night, washed their stripes, and they were baptized, he and all his straightway. Notice, he told them how to be saved. They were saved, obviously. And then once they were, they took him back to Paul. They took him back to the jailer's house. He washed their stripes. And you know what Paul and them did? After they got saved, he baptized them in water. Well, you're talking about revival. You're talking about revival. Come on. Praise God. Let me give you another example here. It should be clear to see. Water baptism is the last thing in the process. You hear the word, you get saved, you make Jesus the Lord of your life, and then water baptism is a natural progression, not the other way around. Acts 18, verse 7 and 8. Why are you going over that so much? Because so many times people are confused. So many times people put the emphasis in the wrong way. Now, I put an emphasis on water baptism, but the way it should be, and the fellowship and the discipleship of Jesus Christ. All eight instances, it was this in this order. I'm giving you three. Last but not least, Acts 18, verse 7 and 8 says this. Crispus, okay, he departed thence and entered to a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose host joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. Notice here, he believed. In other words, in context, we hear Paul preached, they heard, And him and all of his family heard, and it says they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, what are you? Saved. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed also, and then were baptized. So notice the progression. I'm not downplaying baptism. I'm just telling you it comes after salvation. It doesn't save you. It is a natural progression of the saved person to want to follow Jesus' command. And one of his commands, first commands, was to be water baptized in discipleship. Hallelujah. Discipleship is important because as I'm teaching on Wednesday nights on evangelism discipleship, you must understand discipleship is the pathway of God's freedom in our life. By knowing the truth is how we're set free. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So water baptism is an... Come on, Brother Ryan, help me in closing here. Water baptism is an outward act declaring one's faith in Christ and their fellowship of Him. And that's what people are about to do. This is why water baptism is to be part of the believer's discipleship process. Whether they're 8 years old or 88 years old, they're saying, Jesus is my Lord. I made him my Lord. I'm going to follow him in discipleship. I'm declaring this to the world that my past has been forgiven. Amen. My sins have been put away by Jesus Christ. My faith is in him. And as Christ was raised up again by the glory of God the Father to live a new life, I am raised up with him and I live in a brand new life in Christ. And I testify to the world that I'm not mine. I was actually crucified with Christ, Galatians 2:20. I was crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. No, it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. This is why water baptism is to be the part of the believer's discipleship process. We certainly rejoice and celebrate about every life given to Christ and that have been changed by him. This is why we make a big deal about this. In a moment, they're going to come, and the ones that want to testify are going to testify about what God's done to them. But whether they testify or not, they are a testimony to the fact they already know. They're saying, I'm saved. Jesus is my Lord. And I'm going to follow him. And part of me following him is obeying his commands. And he said to go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is a testimony saying, I'm following Jesus. I'm following Jesus. Amen. We rejoice. And that commitment to follow Jesus and his commands are so important. And this is why we rejoice. And this is why we water baptize them today. And see, what you have to understand is the local church and its importance in the entire discipleship process, teaching each believer to obey Jesus Christ. And one of the first things Jesus told us to do is to tell followers of him to follow in water baptism. Show the world you're my disciple. Put your money, put your action where your mouth is already is. In other words, we don't get saved by what we do. We get saved by what we believe and receive Christ. Faith alone in Christ saves us, but saving faith has action. It has fruit. In other words, he says, the moment you are, there should be some fruit. And part of that is the fellowship and saying, I'm water baptized, showing I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. And you know, the local church is so important because it helps you to understand these things. It helps people in their entire discipleship process. This is part of the beginning, not the end. Come on. Teaching each to obey Jesus Christ. And so today, I hope this has helped each of us to understand. Thank God. Before we dismiss our water baptism candidates, I think we should put our hands together for them and just cheer for them one moment. Thank you. Thank you for wanting to do this. Thank you for wanting to do this for following Jesus. Glory be to God. I count it a privilege and an honor to be the pastor of this church and to help people come to Christ and to follow in this discipleship process. And you know, the reason why we teach this is so that all of us can be knowledgeable about why this is important. But we also realize this, that we never want any person, listen to what I'm getting ready to say, we never want any person, whoever they are, to feel like they're like left outside. In other words, they're on the outside of the glass looking in. Some people could sit there and say, well, this is wonderful because these people know that Jesus is the Lord. I'm not sure what all that means. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But what that really means is, in giving their heart to Jesus Christ, they have made Jesus Christ their Lord. Their sins have been forgiven, and they have the gift of eternal life. And in a nutshell, if they die, heaven will be their home. But this is more than about fire insurance. This is about changing our lives in this life. And this is part of it. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly in this life. This is a part of a step of the abundant life. It's about discipleship. And this is why I count it a privilege and an honor to talk about this, to teach people to obey what Jesus has commanded. Amen. But I also realize this. I want no one today to feel like they left and all we did was celebrate about everyone that knew Jesus Christ. And that we're like a little clique, that all us are too good for everybody else. I can tell you, the only difference between me and you, if you don't know Jesus, is I know Jesus and you don't. I know better than you are. I'm just better off. And I'm doing everything I can to change that for you. Because I love you. But more importantly, whether anybody ever told you or not, Jesus loved you. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever will believe on him will not perish, but have everlasting life. So today I realize that you could be just like me. I was in 1986 on March the 30th. I came to a church and I heard a message. You know, and March the 30th, 1986, most of my congregation knows this, but you need to hear it. That day forever changed my life, because for 24 years of my life before that day, I went to church on an ongoing basis. And I thought because I went to church and did good things and did get caught doing bad things, thought because I shook the preacher's hand and was water baptized as a child, thought because I prayed every night and asked God to forgive me, that I was right with God. But at the age of 24, March the 30th, 1986, someone told me how to actually be right with God. And I saw it from the scripture that I had made my own way to God and my own version of God. And I believed in a falsehood that I was secure and right with God by all my good works. Even though I had believed in Jesus, I never made him the Lord of my life. I have a news for all of us today. The devils believe and they'll never be saved. The devils believe on Jesus and they tremble. The difference is humanity, you and I, have the opportunity to come to Christ. And in coming to Christ, what we have to do is repent of our sins, realize that we're sinners. And we can only be saved by God's grace. But once we find out that God will forgive us by his grace, it's our faith in Christ, just accepting him. Grace is God's hand to us saying, I want to save you. Faith is our hand to him grabbing it and saying, I receive that grace of salvation and I make you my Lord. The moment we do, we're saved. 1986, at age 24, that's what I did. And it changed my life. And I, up until that point, I just had my own version of God. I thought I was right. I thought I was on my way to heaven. But I was deceived and I was lost. And I realized that many people are in that same boat. Not because they're evil, not because they're bad. But see, I thought that everybody that killed somebody or everybody was in prison or had long hair had to go to hell. Come on, we laugh about those things. But see, we have our own conception. We make up our own version of God. All those things are totally wrong. We can laugh about them. And I laugh about them now from the perspective of how dumb I was. But all of us, until we come God's way, are ignorant of God's way. Today, I'm making sure that there's not one person in this place or ignorant God of God's way, because God wants you to know He loves you with the everlasting love. So I'm asking you today, what about you? I'm not talking about being water baptized. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm talking about, what direction is your life headed in for eternity? You know, I'm going to tell you a little story. Pastor Deb and I have gone to this place. Don't ask me where it's at. It's personal to her, to us. Several times on vacation. Every time we go, our room is it's in a very nice place. It goes upstairs. It goes whatever floor we're on. But the hotel reminds me every year, when we get in that elevator, there's a voice that speaks in the elevator every time. If you go up, you're on the bottom floor, you push the button 2, 3, or 4, or whatever it is, 5 going up, it says, this voice goes, it says, going up. We go up to our room. But you know what? When we want to come back down, if we don't take the steps, we get back in the same elevator. And you know what it says when we push the button to go to the back? Going down. In all seriousness, when it comes to our eternity, we either going up or we're going down. I think about that every time I hear it. Sometimes we look at each other and smile, but we look at us at each other in the seriousness. There's people every day that are leaving this life. You're either going up or going down. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Do you know it's not up to God, it's up to you. He gave us a free will. Everything begins with what you hear. If you heard lies about God, you can't be saved, because it will never get you to Him. But today I'm connecting the dots to you by what you hear. There's a way of salvation, and it's not your way. Proverbs 14:12, really quick, says this: there's a way that seems right unto a man. King James Version, please. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, we can come up with our own way to God, but it always ends in death. The Passion Translation says it like this. It says, you can rationalize it all you want and justify the path of error you have chosen, but you'll find out in the end you took the road to destruction. Don't wait until the end. Don't wait. Know today that God allows U-turns, and He allows you to make the choice to follow Jesus Christ. Proverbs 14:9 in the Passion Translation says, fools mock the need of repentance, while the favor of God rests upon all His lovers. God is just looking for a heart that would repent and just say, my way is not right, your way is. Be man up, a woman enough to say, my way is wrong, your way is right. That's what repentance is. It means to change your heart and mind about the direction you're going in, and not go in your direction, but accepts God's direction for your life. And you know what God's direction for your life is? Jesus Christ. Simple. This is why Romans 3:23 warns us. It says, for the wages, Romans 6:23, please. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus paid the price. It's a free gift. The free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. All we have to do is repent of our sins and receive it. That's all we have to do. And this is why Jesus said in John 14:6, I'm closing. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father except by me. There's only one way to Christ. Only one way to Christ. Only one way to salvation. Only one way to God. And that's through Jesus Christ. That's how we're saved. And as important is water baptism, the important is discipleship. All of that is important. But it all begins with a surrender to Jesus Christ. And if you never surrendered your heart to Him, I invite you to take your first step today. Just like I did on March the 30th, 1986. Bow your hearts and heads with me in closing. Father, I thank you for each and every person. And as they are here today, if they have never made Jesus the Lord of their life, or if they have at one time in their life, but they've gotten away from him, and you are speaking to their hearts to come back, to recommit their life to Christ, to show their seriousness of their walk with you. If that's them in here today, either to come to Christ for the